Well, our mics are back on, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm host of Radio Entrepreneurs, also chairman of the board, CEO of Mage LLC. And this is our version of Radio Entrepreneurs, and now streaming due to COVID, trying to help entrepreneurs understand how other entrepreneurs are going to market, changing their business, adapting in this economy, because most people still are working, but finding new ways to go to work. You know, when I first got into consulting, I used to get on an airplane and go to Toronto all the time. And I met a consultant, Franklin Jonath of Jonathan DeMaio, who I actually, if you know me, I'm not always a big fan of consultants. But over 35 years, one person that stayed constant with me as another consultant that I always had respect for is Franklin Jonath. And luckily and fortunately for the first time, here he is on Radio Entrepreneurs. Welcome, Franklin.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. You know, you've done, we've run parallel in a lot of ways. I mean, you were going to Canada when I stopped going to Canada. You were working outside Boston when I was working inside Boston. But I know you and your son now are very busy consulting in this very changing economy.
Correct. We are. We're responding a lot to our clients in terms of what they need now that they have to really communicate, if you will, in the way we're communicating right now, through Zoom and other platforms. And it's really changed a lot of things in terms of how people interact and what it's done to productivity.
Right. Can you give us a sense of the type of stuff that you're really focusing on in terms of content with clients? What's the types of things? I know what I'm focusing on, but I always love to hear your stories.
As I said up front, as you mentioned, many of our clients, and the largest client we have is a strategic consulting firm, the Boston Consulting Group. And we've been with them for a number of years. And they do a lot of, obviously, in-house face-to-face meetings with their clients, which they can't do right now. And they also have to do a lot of work with their case teams. They can't do face-to-face. They have to do on Zoom. And what we're discovering is that it's really important to think through your environment that you're in. So for example, if you look at the environment that I'm in, I want to convey to you right now that I've got at least a full office space. I have nothing that's really distracting anybody. And on Zoom, what happens is people are all coming from their intimate zones inside their houses. In real life, they wouldn't share that with people. And it gets in the way of communication at times, because we're seeing things that are triggering off, oh, he's this, or he reads this kind of book, or he does that. Find a lot of distractions. So up front, one of the things we've done is got people to create their own in-house studio, so that when you look at the person, you get that they're in an office, you get a feel that you're across from their desk. Because being close in the other person's intimate zone, you wouldn't be there in an office environment. So you have to replicate that as much as possible. The other thing we discovered is that it's important to think through why you're having the meeting. People are complaining that they're having too many Zoom meetings and their eyeballs are falling out of their heads. And a lot of this is because we don't want to go around the water cooler anymore. If I had a question and I saw you in the kitchen, I could ask you, hey, Jeffrey, what about this? Have you thought about that? But now I have to schedule a meeting. I have to go through this whole megillah to get to talk to you. And it's too difficult and it's really draining. So I've asked people to think through that there are only four real reasons for having a meeting. There's informational meetings. There's meetings where you have to go in and persuade. There's meetings you have to go in and drive people to and motivate them to an action. And there are meetings you want them to feel a certain way. You want to inspire them. So think through before you have the meeting, what's the purpose of this meeting? So for example, most informational meetings, you don't really need for Zoom. Pick up the phone, use that, and then start thinking through how best to populate your meetings, because that's the other thing people are doing. They're having too many people in their meetings. So it's just basic ideas that you would use in a meeting at real time. How do you replicate that best you can in on the Zoom environment?
I think that's important because, you know, In the prior edition of our consulting, we were always helping clients to figure out how to structure and make meetings productive. And you're saying that's becoming just as important or more important now with our new meeting structure. I just want to, as you know, I always like to drop a funny story in. I was speaking with a client the other day that senior partner, one of the largest law firms in New England. He told me he was doing reviews, salary reviews with partners. And a part, you talked about the environment, and the partners showed up in their pajamas.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know how you expect me to give you a proper salary review and respect you if you're showing up in your pajamas.
Exactly. Right. I had a guy one day, and he was in his bedroom, and it was pretty obvious, and he had a towel over the banister of the bed, not the banister, the frame
headboard.
Of the bed. Headboard, thank you very much, over the headboard. And I just get into, did you just have a shower? But he and his wife, and that was in my head, and I couldn't think straight for about 30 seconds. So that's what I mean about the intimate zone. And because in real life meetings, we really stay in what we call the pseudo-intimate zone. That's the place where we're in role, and we share information from the role. And the intimate zone is really personal, and we may share those kinds of things at times, but you don't want to convey those things immediately. It's about managing the social space zone, that zone where we shake hands, then get into the pseudo-intimate zone, that zone where we do business in our roles, and then we get into the intimate zone, what motivates us, what our beliefs are, our values, those kinds of things. But that takes place in a natural kind of way. You don't bring people into your homes that way.
So, you know, you haven't primed me, so I don't even know if I'm asking a relevant question. When I think of the financial industry, I think about the investment side, and then I think about the banking side. I'm just separating it out. They're both living in a very different world right now and really having to adapt. The banking, I think they're spinning their head around totally. They're not used to this at all. The investment industry is a little bit more attuned to downturns and making changes. But what are you seeing with those industries? Anything in particular you can share?
Yeah, well, we're primarily involved in the we have a number of private equity clients. And right now the big issue is how do they do their work remotely, given that these guys do a lot of traveling? So for example, sourcing clients is really much more difficult now than it had been, because they really need to do the upfront sourcing may take place over a phone or reference or that kind of thing, but they got to get face-to-face. And Zoom, it works to a point, but as we all know, we need that three-dimensional environment when we're talking about major kinds of financial investments. You really have to check each other out in different kinds of ways. You can't do it, so they're struggling with that. And we're helping them understand ways to create the communication so that they bring out more of the other's story, get a sense of who that person is, convey who you are beyond your role, because they got to get that feel to take place. And that's a struggle.
So, you know, I've worked with hundreds of family businesses, a little bit different niche, but my son always clearly on his own tracks, and my daughter on track, out, not in my family business. If I were to say to him today, would you want to go into my business? He'd go, no, I don't want to work with you. You brought your son into your family business, not easy in a consulting firm. How did that all work its way out? You know?
That's interesting. I had in the back of my mind that I wanted to bring him into the business for years because we have a very good relationship. And that's because we were always honest with each other. I always made him think through what he needed, what he wanted, and learn how to communicate that to me, right? So, for example, when he was a kid, we went to see the first Star Wars movie. And on the way out, I thought, oh my God, he's gonna want every one of those Star Wars toys. And I'm gonna have to spend thousands of dollars on Star Wars toys. So he looks at me and says, Dad, he said, I want some Star Wars toys. I said, okay, well, I'm not gonna buy you every Star Wars toy. So make your case for what you would like, think it through. And he came back a couple of days later and he says to me, and he's 7 years old, or 8 years old, he says, I just want Chewbacca, because Jonathan down the street, his father will buy him everything, right? So we always had this level of communication back and forth. I tried for 10 years to get him into the business, but he was working out in Hawaii. And that's where he wanted to live and work. and he was doing a lot of work with Kona Village. And when he was there, he was also doing a lot of real estate work, and he got into selling. And one day when there was a downturn, he asked me to think about, help him think through, how can he do some sales training? And I realized, aha, maybe we got the hook now. And that started it. We got talking about sales training, implemented a real interesting training program for Sotheby's out there. One thing led to another. And he said, geez, I really like this. Any other things that you think we could work on together? And one thing led to another. So finally, my business partner, Peter DeMeo, said, you know what? It's time to hook him in and reel him in. Let's see if we can really get him. And going on 8 years ago now, we did, brought him in. My partner, Peter, retired to, interestingly enough, that was a good transition point for him. He tried to retire to North Carolina. I stayed in, and Adam has just really taken the business to another level.
So we're going to call out Adam Luke Skywalker and you Darth Vader. And instead of his crossing over to the dark side, he got control of the firm. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Was that a smooth transition?
Yeah. The best proof of the transition took place in Dallas 2 years ago. I went down to observe a program that we had going on with a client, and I ran into the buyer, and the buyer said, oh, Franklin, been a long time. Nice to see you. And he looked around like this. He's doing this. And I said, what's up? And he says, I need to talk to Adam. Where's Adam? And I said, that's it. I'm done. The transition's complete. Because this was a real tricky client. It's a really important client. And then later at that evening, we all went out to dinner, and we had a new relationship, my relationship with the client. All the business stuff, totally comfortable with Adam. So that nailed it for me.
Well, I don't know if this is a fair question to end with. You know, as the entrepreneurs listening and what's going on with staying in business, would you say to them, do you have a message that you could sort of end saying, don't do this, or you have to do this before you get off?
The key thing is that I always look at is there's a balance beam, if you will, like a seesaw, a teeter, you know, those little things the kids play on. And on one end, anxiety. And on the other end, you got management. Right? Before you do anything, before you can go manage anything, you have to reduce anxiety. The first anxiety you have to reduce is your own. Once you reduce your own anxiety, you then have to go to others and help them reduce their anxiety before they can focus on managing whatever the task is you want them to manage. So the key thing is, as Dwight Eisenhower said when he was getting ready for D-Day, the calmest person in the room has to be you if you're the leader. And that starts with reducing your own anxiety, because you know everybody else is going out to do battle. They're really anxious about where they're at and the battle they got to go out and fight. Help them reduce their anxiety and focus them on the task.
Oh, I agree with you. An old client of mine, Jack Burns, who used to be at Arthur D. Little, he was the CFO.
Yeah.
He used to say to me, because he was an ex-Navy SEAL, he used to say to me, Jeffrey, a hot gun never shoots straight.
There you go. Same. Yep. He was saying the same thing. Exactly. And it has to come through in your demeanor and your tone. You know, we've all heard of IQ, intelligence quotient. We're all aware of EQ, emotional intelligence. There's also BQ, which most people aren't aware of. BQ is body intelligence. BQ is being aware of what your body is telling you. And that's the foundation from which you then can reduce your anxiety. Because your body will always tell you where the anxiety is, where it's coming from, and do something with it, transform it. That opens the door to the EQ. Then you start really paying attention to what am I getting and how do I use empathy so that I can then go to the IQ and bring people to their task and get them productive. But pay attention to where you're coming from first.
Well, you know, I'll give you the ultimate compliment before I ask for your ID information. You know, at Mage, since 1985, we've probably got 80% of our business as a result of other management consultants not being able to do the job right. We've never in 700 projects ever gotten a project that came out of as a result of your firm doing the work first or not doing it right. So it's quite a compliment to you. I've always respected you. If someone's looking for you, how would they find you?
It's Franklin. The email is Franklin at Jonath, JONATH-DeMeo, DIMEO.com. It's 617-818-0305.
Well, thanks for coming on, John, Franklin. And, you know, hopefully we're not going to take another few years before we get you on again.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Pleasure, Jeffrey.
Stay well and be healthy. Thank you.
Take care.